And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one right here. Y'all, it's Alabama. I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so plenty to talk about. Not the least of which, though, is the First Dipper. Show me the money. So, you know, on the one hand, I don't know about y'all. On the one hand, I am tired of talking about Kamala Harris. I almost feel like I don't have to talk about her anymore because, you know, she lost big. Hopefully she's going to be out of politics, out of our lives, like for, I don't know, ever. But I still get, every once in a while, I pause and think, you know what? She's still the Vice President of the United States of America right now. I mean, as we speak, she is the Vice President of the United States of America with authority to preside over the U.S. Senate. She's a senior executive in the world right now. Having said that, it brings it back around to me saying, dadgummit, there needs to be some accountability. There just does. And somebody needs to ask her a freaking hard question, and somebody on her side needs to come up with a hard answer. Like, here's this. Show me the money. Where did it go? What did you do? So Ted Cruz, by the way, listen, Ted Cruz was like one of my hopes for attorney general. Nonetheless, Ted Cruz has got one of the most incisive wits. He's very dry, but he's like sharp. And the guy is super intelligent. Ted Cruz just has his own podcast. And he just said the other day, he said Vice President Kamala Harris basically had the fire festival of campaigns. I had to go remind myself about fire festival. You remember a fire festival? Remember that one, JP?
No.
Oh, JP. Okay, it's 2017.
Oh, okay.
You were embroiled in what, high school, I guess, at that point?
Yeah, freshman.
Okay, so 2017 fire festival. It was this giant. It was built as this giant epic getaway to go camp, like a Woodstock, but yet luxury Woodstock, camping on a Bahamian island called Great Exuma. There are all these big talents that were going to come play. I mean, they had like Blink 182 and the Migos and Kendall Jenner and Hailey Bieber were helping promote it and all this kind of stuff. And so it was like this huge deal, Fire Festival. $29 million in outside investment. People began showing up and nothing was there. They had all these canceled bands that never had really been locked in, but they were billed anyway. They were like bare mattresses laying on floors and storm-ravaged tents for people to sleep on. They're like, what? There were some cheese sandwiches, and that's about it, in takeaway containers. There was no running water. There was no electricity. There were no toilet facilities. $29 million disappeared.
Wow.
And the guy who put it together was Billy McFarland and Ja Rule. Isn't Ja Rule a rapper?
Yes, he is.
Billy McFarland and Ja Rule. And they had like this whole credit card company that was going to be sponsoring exclusive parties and VIP events. Poof, went away. They had Fire Media was the company that was putting everything together. Poof, went away. $29 million disappeared. Billy McFarland did a number of years in prison. It was a giant scam. People were paying $1,400 a ticket. Some were paying like upwards of $1 million to go and have the experience on the Bahamian island, dancing and getting high and watching concerts. And it's like, poof, all went away. So
that's a good analogy for what happened.
So having said all that, so Kamala Harris ran what Ted Cruz mockingly calls the Fire Festival of campaigns. He said, Trump spent roughly $488 million. That's a lot of money. What we could do with Right Side Media with a mere half of that.
Or a mere quarter of that.
Okay, a third. Yeah. Maybe 10%.
Yeah.
Anyway, $488 million was spent by Trump, but Kamala spent a billion. She outspent Trump more than 2-1. Now you have to ask the question. Cruz asked it. I'm asking it. Where'd the money go? One of the things we're finding out is she began paying a lot of celebrities to make appearances on her behalf. But wait, I thought those were endorsements. Were they not? I don't know that we can call them true endorsements if we had to pay you to get there. So think back to July. Do we have to? Yes. Think back to July. Article here I pulled off of local station WGBH says that when Kamala first took over as the lead candidate for the Democrats, there's all these questions about, okay, wait a minute, we got a bunch of money in the Biden-Harris campaign. Can she access those funds? It was a question. Why was it a question? Well, because you just don't hand away money like that. You just don't throw it all out there. You just don't let somebody have access to funds that weren't raised for the purposes for which they're now being asked to be used. Now you look back and go, those questions were pretty legit. Meanwhile, at the time, there were spokespeople for the Harris campaign that were saying, well, we're not surprised there's mischief afoot with Republicans trying to question the very aspects of us having these funds available to us. Well, weren't they geniuses for asking now? In the hours immediately after the announcement, though, even without getting those funds right away, Harris received nearly $50 million in donations in the first 24 hours after being named. She had money being lavished on her, just throwing it out. I mean, it was to the point, it's epic. I think it may have been even a fundraising record. There was money being thrown at her feet. Just Benjamins flying everywhere. And now nobody can really truly account for all of it, and she's $20 million in debt. How do you take $1 billion, lose everything, gain nothing, literally nothing, gain nothing, and you're $20 million in debt? I can just tell you, having run a much lower level campaign, 4-county state senate race, my last race was one of the most expensive legislative races of the year. I think I personally raised and spent like $770,000 or something like that. But one of my absolute mandates was, we will watch the dollar signs, we will report accordingly, and we will not go into debt. We will not. And it's very easy. By the way, you can get caught up into, we got to have another ad buy. Send them, but then you don't realize that somebody didn't balance the books, and so now you spent money you already spent over here. If you're not careful, you get into a super flurry at the end. Well, they didn't have that kind of, watch guard. They didn't have somebody, I guess, minding the store. They didn't have a mandate that says, we will not. You know why? Because the same person that is vice president of the United States right now that wanted to be your president is fiscally irresponsible. She has no idea what it means to be fiscally responsible, and a look at her campaign will tell you just that. I got a call on line one. Let me grab it real quick. Hey, it's Sparky. Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, great show, you guys. Sorry I haven't called since the election. I'm too busy giggling, and I'll go into the giggling fit, and I'm afraid I'll embarrass myself on the phone. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Would anybody stand back and watch this woman's people and her campaign, who are all going to be in her White House, right?
Right.
If they go that much in debt and blow that much money, for absolutely nothing. Can you imagine how much worse the national debt would be in just 4 years? And it's already in an atrocious state. But anyway, remember Hillary Clinton. I think she spent 4 to 5 times as much on her campaign back in 2016. And I giggled all the time back then too, walking down the aisle of the grocery store or swimming my Navy survival strokes in the pool for my cardio. The lifeguards are like, what is that old man laughing about? I'm like, private joke. But anyway, good stuff. Hey.
Private joke. He just thinks funny sometimes.
Well, I apologize. I was that guy 6 or 8 months ago that said Trump never should have been nominated. He can't win because the hatred for Donald Trump is greater than the energy that we can generate. And in the last few weeks, I've started thinking, I'm wrong. I'm really wrong. There's a lot of energy for this man this time, and he's got a purpose and a vision, and the other side doesn't. And sure enough, I'm going to hang up and go into gales of giggles right now.
Well, you're welcome to stay in the club, man. We'll keep you. How about that?
All right. Good evening.
We'll see you, buddy. Yeah, I mean, listen, it is, I think it's just it's across the board right now. There's a different feeling. You know, I said earlier in my monologue that if you I don't know about you, I can feel the turning. There's a different energy. There's a different optimism. There's a different sense of purpose. And there is certainly more to laugh about, smile about, and now granted, I'm not if you're a leftist, but I'm okay with that. I share Sparky's enthusiasm, man. But I also look at the bullet we dodged, y'all. Look at the bullet we dodged. Which, if she's going to be that fiscally irresponsible with the campaign to take the office, what would she have done once she had the checkbook of the U.S. government? And I shudder to think how this could have gone. It was bad enough that she cast the deciding vote on the Inflation Reduction Act, which did nothing to reduce inflation, or the ARPA funds that just threw billions and billions of dollars into our economy and drove us into 40-year high inflation. She has zero clue how to run any organization, zero clue what it means to be fiscally responsible. She just spends because I must have more money. There's still more checks. It doesn't work like that. All right, listen, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got some more on this. It's a hoot, man. We're gonna talk about what the FEC filings actually say. And then, you know, did you hear what she paid some people like Al Sharpton? Oh, this is a good one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. A bunch of text messages dropping in. Let me get a few real quick. Bob from Decatur believes that Cream is out there busy somewhere with TDS therapy sessions. No time to call. That's possible. That's very possible. Cream, you're welcome to call in, man. We still love you in spite of yourself. Mark from Red Bay, Alabama. Says Kamala was using Bidenomics and she was loving it. Point taken. Alice from Huntsville says Ted Cruz is my choice also, and Matt Whitaker next. Yeah, Matt Whitaker would have been something else. And by the way, speaking of appointments, breaking news right now as we speak, up on the screens here in the studio, Trump has tapped RFK Jr. to be Secretary of Health and Human Services. Wow. Just wow, wow, wow. And, you know, I don't know how the medical field is going to take to that. But then again, I mean, how did they take to the fact that he had the undersecretary for Health and Human Services was a dude wearing a dress? I mean, you know, just saying. I'll go ahead and take RFK Jr. Yep, like as of today, I'll take him. Can we go ahead and make that swap immediate? It's really – by the way, I got to ask you, JP, so – are you fueled back up from that donut, by the way?
About halfway. I ate about half the donut. So.
Half of it? Okay. Yeah. We have a great bakery that's unfortunately right next door almost to the studio. And so just happened to have a dozen donuts that walked in the house today. Is it just me or is like – the Trump appointments process, like watching the NFL draft right now.
I saw that tweet. Elon reposted it. And I don't remember like people being this excited on appointments being made. I think you nailed it in terms of people can feel a vibe shift. And it's almost like the first Trump administration, and he even said this, where he wasn't very it was his first time being a politician, so he was kind of trusting people on who to appoint. Yeah. But now he's, you know, made a point of now he knows who to appoint and he's going to make better appointments. So that I think that adds to the excitement of what's he going to do this time. And it's
And you know what they should have done? They should have done it like the NFL draft. they should have had Trump or one of his chief surrogates or whatever getting up on stage and saying, for Health and Human Services, the Trump administration taps, and then like this moment of suspense, and you see like there's RFK Jr. on the couch at home with his family, and they're watching, and he says RFK Jr. and they all go crazy, you know, and like, and he's wearing a jersey. Next thing you know, it says HHS and just
da 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 da. that would have been fun. No, but it's true. I mean, there's just a level of excitement around this new, the second Trump term that you know, it's, and plus bringing in people like Elon, I think adds excitement of overall of just that this is not a replay of the first administration, which was a great, you know, a great 4 years, but also a lot of improvements could have been made on the appointment side of things, which I think people are very excited about.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting too is the speed with which he's doing it. He's not wasting. He did take quite a while to get his cabinet rounded out the first time, and part of that was because he was new and figuring things out. I'm sure it was a different animal. I remember there were people saying, you know, he's coming from the private sector. He's never had to do it quite this way. Okay, but he gets it now.
I think he's had some time to think about it as
well. Oh Lord, yes, and I think what we're seeing too is he said there were things in the campaign he was going to do. And now he's appointing the people who you know will do it. I'm personally pretty stoked. There's a few of these choices, and I won't poison the well because we're going to do Butters and Lee later, and I may or may not ask them a question about appointments. But I'm of the mind that most of what I'm seeing right now, I'm like, spot on, man. Bring the team. I mean, this is like it's turning into All-Star at this point.
Yeah.
John from Huntsville's got a text for you, JP. I'll let you take care of it.
it's not going to happen.
Come on. Thomas Mathen says, difficult to follow all the money, $1 billion. That much money lavished in so many ways makes me wonder if there are not some or many quid pro quos or kickbacks. Well, of course there are. But when I read you the list of where some of the money went, you'll know where it went. I mean, it's like, phew. They have to do filings. And by the way, when you say quid pro quo or kickbacks, remember this is a campaign. So you can make promises in a campaign. You can't promise power. If, like, she's a vice president, she can't give someone access to governance in return for their endorsement. She can't do that. But she can promise somebody a potential role in the administration. She can do that as a part of the campaign. But the FEC requires that every penny be accounted for. So there are, and it gets, by the way, it got to the point that it was madness. Even for my state Senate campaigns, we would run, and you have to do, at first you have to do, I want to say at first it's a quarterly filing, then it turns into a monthly filing, and then as you get closer, it's a bi-monthly, and then it's a weekly filing, and towards the end, you're doing daily filings. It's to the point that, like, I gotta go campaign, for the love of God. But they're keeping track of the money, and right down to the penny. Jimmy from Del Rose, Tennessee, says, Phil, the only birds singing outside the Democrats' windows are buzzards. Jeff Rowe from Indiana again says, you know, Phil, if Trump starts cutting up all these welfare people who are more able-bodied than me, what does he mean? Cutting up all these welfare people who are more able-bodied than me, I think we need to make a bunch of signs that read, we'll work for Toppy. Said, I'm sure several of them would hold that sign thinking it's something good. No doubt. Bunch of Toppy heads. And then David from Bucky says, Phil, I remember way back during my Army days when everybody was kiting checks so often, I would hear, I had checks, so I thought I had money, from both young soldiers and their spouses. I think Harris and the federal government should be like us and be required to live within their means. Yeah, no doubt. All right, listen, I did not even get to the list of things that we did know she spent money on, to include some that may have some ethics violations attached to them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. Hour number two on a Thursday as we move you towards a Friday and get you to the good weekend. And I just said before the break that HHS secretary is expected now to be RFK Jr., which is amazing, which is really cool. Think about what that means. Trump is not afraid to appoint people outside of the party. He's willing to broaden his scope. He's actually honoring people who have actually said what they said on the campaign trail, and he is glad of it. But the reality is we've got a whole lot going on just in general. And we're still looking at, how did the Kamala Harris campaign explode? I don't know how to explain it. Nobody can. So let me run through a couple more things here. And a piece from CNN points out on October 9th that the surge in giving that Harris has rocketed her past Trump's campaign. that his team had announced collecting roughly $430 million jointly between them and the Republican Party, but that it was overshadowed now by the Trump, I mean, the Harris campaign. Well, then you got a piece from Fox just what, a month later? Exactly a month later, calling it a $1 billion disaster. And here's what the FEC filings have. So the Federal Election Commission requires filings that show you to the penny where the money went. You can't hand 50 bucks to your favorite unless you're going to fake all the reports, which you can do. But what I'm saying is everything has to be accounted for. Well, we show right now she made two $500,000 separate payments to Oprah Winfrey's company, which is called Harpo Productions. Well, Oprah Winfrey swears she didn't get a dime of it. Okay, just your organization that writes your paycheck. But yeah, Harpo Productions just, I don't know how to explain what's going on. It's the reality is she got $1 million, she says, for production costs. But wow, it is just unconscionable that that had to happen. If you're going to be a billionaire and you're going to endorse a presidential candidate, you're going to make them pay you $1 million to set up the stage for the actual event? Or how about this, $4 million to Village Marketing Agency. Why is that important? It's a company that helps you tie in with social media influencers. Oh, really? So they're doling out money to social media influencers to, oh, by the way, buy their influence. How about this? We had a long list of celebrities, Beyonce, Bon Jovi, Ricky Martin, Jennifer Lopez, Bruce Springsteen. And I'll be honest with you, if they're going to say all this is going on and celebrities are being paid, if one of those doesn't come out sometime soon and say, I never got paid, then the assumption is they got paid. Don't you think? I mean, if we're going to say their name, hey, Bon Jovi, I've liked your music since high school. If we're going to say that they suddenly are on a list of people who sponsored and you wonder, did they get paid, and they're not bothering to refute it, you have to look at it and go, yeah, they got paid. $15 million on event production. I mean, it's to the point now that the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, is actually saying this is a $1 billion disaster. That's not a Republican that said that. That is the DNC National Finance Committee member saying this is a $1 billion disaster. It's just unreal. But then you look at six-figure checks made to activist groups. Six-figure checks to activist groups in September. Left-leaning groups like the Black Voters Matter Fund, tied to Louis Farrakhan. Oh, boy. The Black Church PAC got $150,000. Oh, boy. But then despite her, you know, climate change is the worst thing in the world thing, suddenly we have $4 million to a company called Advance Aviation to fly people around on private jets. And then we have $56 million in campaign payroll. I get it. Some of that happens. You have $100 million to strategy firms and marketing firms. I guess I get it, but wow, a lot. And then at the end of it all, you have $118 million in the bank just a mere 3 weeks before the election, and yet, ba-boom, you end up $20 million in debt. Well, one of the things that happened that I think is probably one of the most unconscionable is one of those moments when you look at it and go, yes, yeah, somebody really ought to look into this and find out whether there has been a violation of some form of ethics laws or some form of broadcasting. I mean, you've got right now Al Sharpton. Did you talk about Al Sharpton? I did. Al Sharpton. Well, he's an MSNBC pundit, is he not? Yes, he is. Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton got, among other things, how much did he get? $500,000. What? Yes. Kamala Harris's, according to the Free Beacon, Kamala Harris's presidential campaign donated $500,000 to Al Sharpton's nonprofit just weeks before the MSNBC host gave her like a puff interview. So let me get this straight. The media elites think it's okay if on the side they're making a whole lot of money from the candidate who they're then going to bring on in their official capacity with the media and do an interview and then pretend it's all above board. The campaign's remittance to Sharpton's National Action Network, according to FreeBeacon.com, was part of a flurry of donations to Black and Latino advocacy groups that were trying to win Harris support from those constituencies, Free Beacon says, Dateline 2 days ago. And then Al Sharpton aired a video of Harris wishing him happy birthday on his MSNBC show. Happy birthday, Rev, she said. You've been all over for your year. Such an extraordinary leader. And then he did a glowing interview with her on October 20th. So, yeah, 3 weeks before the interview, $500,000 to his personal organization. Then he goes on MSNBC and pretends he's actually just an interviewer. No, he's not. If that's not a paid endorsement, I don't know what is. And oh, by the way, there are things called equal access laws that govern the use of media. For instance, I can have Tommy Tuberville here on the show every day. Senator Tuberville, it doesn't matter. He can come on every day. He's the elected senator. If he was running for office and he had competition, I would have to, by law, offer his competition the opportunity to come on. Equal access. This is why Saturday Night Live got in so much trouble. Because Saturday Night Live, 3 days before the election, did a big Kamala's with us night. And it was all big fun. Kamala's with us. She's on stage on Saturday Night Live. Whoop, whoop. It's all big fun. No, it wasn't. It allowed for unequal access to the network. And now you got, literally, they've got the books on this. The Harris campaign gets $500,000 to Al Sharpton's personal organization. And 3 weeks later, he does a puffy interview with her on MSNBC. I want to know at what point is the FTC? Which one is the governing for, I just forgot which one would fine us if we have a cuss word on the air.
Is it the FCC?
FCC, thank you. Federal Communications Commission. I want to know when they're going to investigate this in MSNBC, allowing that to happen. I mean, what would happen if, I don't know, pick one. Donald Trump did an interview with, say, Laura Ingraham, but Laura Ingraham first got paid $500,000 before she did the interview. Can you imagine the outroar? The outcry? It would be unreal. Let me go to the phone real quick before I run out of time. I just realized I got a call holding on the... Oh, Wolverine Dan. Hey, man, how you doing? Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Hello.
Hello. How you, bud?
Hey, Phil, I'm sorry. I'm in my Mustang GT 25-year anniversary, and it's a rag top, so it's kind of like a wind tunnel, so I apologize.
No worries. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, a couple things. First off, Sparky called, and boy, it's good to hear Sparky. Him and I go back a long way. He got worked out the same place I worked out, and I didn't see him in a while. He must be somewhere else. But anyway, I wanted to thank you for what you're doing. See, you really need to tell the truth and expose what's going on. That is your job. You're doing well, and that's what you should do. Now, the president's job, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing right now, getting the right people in the right positions. Hit the streets running, like I said yesterday. And he doesn't need to badmouth anybody or whatever. Your job, like other talk show hosts and conservative shows, are to expose the fraud and the walk up to the banking teller and get your $500,000 to do something for Kamala. So bottom line is this. You keep doing what you do, my friend, and then our president is doing exactly what he needs to do. He doesn't need to talk negative. He needs to be positive and do the right thing and get this country back on its feet again. And prosperity is going to be wonderful for all people.
I agree, man. I think it's coming. I think we're at the turning point. I said in my monologue earlier. Thank you, brother. Hey, enjoy that Mustang. Right. Good ride. All right. See you, Mark. That was Wolverine Dan. I'm sorry. Yeah, listen, we'll take a break right now. When we come right back, I'll take some text messages, wrap this up, and I'll tell you who's coming on the show tomorrow. I just got confirmation a moment ago. Show me the money. You know what the problem is? They can't show you the money. They don't know where it is right now. They have $20 million in debt. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.